A very good morning to you as you make your way to your pews morning and joining us for this second Sunday of Advent. It's just an exciting time of the year, and continue to spread that Christmas joy to all your friends and all your neighbors and those that you come in contact with. We just want to highlight this morning that the poinsettias, it's the last day to order them. So if you haven't been able to make your order on the Narthex table, please do so. They're $6.50 and come in a variety of colors. So again, today's the last day to order poinsettias, and you'll be able to pick those up on Christmas Day, which we'll be having one service that day, no Sunday school, and it will be a 10 a.m. service. There also seems to be some confusion about next week with the Children's Christmas Program. That's at 9:30, but we'll still have our service at 10:30 next week. So the service times remain the same, but the children's program will be at 9:30. And there will still be 8:15 service. Everything else is the same, just Sunday school. There's the children's program. And there's an announcement if we have the microphone available to bring to Burl. So next Sunday is your final day to put the cards in the stockings, which you see neatly hung out in our Narthex area. So thank you for those that have already brought cards, and thank you for those who will be bringing them by next Sunday. And we appreciate all those that are delivering them. That really means a lot. Yes, we have another announcement.
Just an invitation. Last year we had done some caroling to some of the shut-ins and things in the congregation on Sunday afternoon, the Sunday before Christmas. We're going to do that again this year. On the 18th, right after second service, right after the 10:30 worship, we'll have a light lunch downstairs for anybody that wants to stay, and then we're just going to break out and go out and do some singing for the afternoon. So anyone that wants to join us, please be here.
And just to highlight, the men's ministry breakfast is on the 17th at 7 a.m., and that's at Blue Star Family Restaurant. So men, we encourage you at 7 a.m. on the 17th to come out, and that evening will also be a young family fellowship. We haven't determined location yet, but we'll give more information as the time nears. Are there any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? Always remember, your bulletin has the information that we're sharing, apart from the caroling, but that'll make the bulletin before that time arrives. But we'll be caroling all day, all afternoon. That's an exciting thing to be able to share the story of Christmas through song. So thank you. Yes. All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have the lighting of the Advent candle. Father, we thank you for gathering us here in this place. We thank you that you love us, that we thank you that you have forgiven us. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus, this Christmas as we anticipate his being born and celebrating that fact. We also, Lord, come preparing ourselves ready for your second return, knowing that as we look at our lives, we long to look like you and to share the news of your coming and your second coming. So thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to be people who demonstrate you to others through the hope and the peace that we have. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Would you please rise and join us in our call to worship this morning? Can you feel it? Can you sense it, people of God? A shoot is coming from the stump of Jesse. A branch is sprouting and growing from all his roots. Ready yourselves. Christ is the coming of justice and mercy. He is the advocate of the poor. He is an ally to the meek of the earth. His words will change everything. His words will be everything.
This is the advent of righteousness.
Soon the root of Jesse shall stand as a sign to all people. This is the coming of hope. This is the deep breath before the plunge. This is the final scene before the second act. This is the advent of righteousness.
And this dwelling shall be glorious.
We will be singing Silent Night. The first verse is 1 and 3, and then we'll go right into Away in the Manger, verses 1 and 2.
Beautiful singing this morning. Thank you. Invite you now as the microphone comes around to share in any joys and concerns that you may have. and simply raise your hand. It's good to see Carol and Pete here this morning and so many others that have not been able to make it due to health issues and the way God's moving in your lives. Are there any other joys or concerns you'd like to share?
I'd just like to share, I've been following on the emails with the Hoover family who spoke at our church. They are in the Dominican Republic doing missionary work for the Church of the Brethren, and they just asked that we keep them in their prayers. They've been there for 2 weeks now. They're working at learning the language more fully, and they are endeavoring and going out and visiting all of the Church of the Brethren in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. So just keep them in their prayers as they're on this new adventure for God.
Amen. Amen.
I have a girlfriend that I grew up with whose daughter was born with an undiagnosable rare disease, and they have spent the last 4.5 years up and down the East Coast seeing all kinds of specialists to figure out what was going on with this little girl who is unable to walk and has very low muscle tone. And this last week, they met with specialists at the NIH, and they think that they have discovered the answer to the questions. And it's a scary diagnosis, but it's something that may be resolved, and this little girl could have a new lease on life. So we're just praying that Molly is her name, will receive the answer to her prayers and be able to lead a healthy life after they figure out exactly what's going on. So I just ask your prayer for the Miscavige family.
Thank you.
It was a joy to see so many children yesterday at the gathering place building the houses, and there were so many of them from young to old. There were a few older ones, but it was just a beautiful sight.
Yes, it certainly was.
I'm asking for prayer for a very good friend named Joanne. She blacked out last night, totally demolished her car. And she's in the hospital, but I'm also requesting prayers for her granddaughter, Cassidy, who was with her. Cassidy's 13 and watched this coming and couldn't do anything. Watched a car crash. So I'm requesting prayers for Joanne and her granddaughter, Cassidy. On a lighter note, I'd like to embarrass my son. I can do that as his mother. 50 years ago, on a Sunday, Mark was born. Happy birthday, Mark, and thank you for all you do for this church.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to many others celebrating birthdays as well. Amen.
My brother came home from the hospital. He's still on thickener now. He has to get different kind because the thickener that he has is making his blood sugar high. So he's walking with a walker and getting help, speech therapy and all that. But I'm glad to see him home. And my cousin's husband died, Eugene Brown. Okay.
Any others this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies that are new each day. We thank you, Father, for the way that you interact in our lives. You provide for our every need. And we just turn to you this morning. You know those that are rejoicing. We celebrate with those that have had birthdays or have a birthday today. And just the gift of life we are just overwhelmed by and so thankful to have that opportunity. But Father, we know many struggle and they deal with uncertainties and the direction for their lives. They're unaware what could happen next, and we're just praying that you would just continue to guide Molly's doctors and just allow that healing to continue to take place through modern medicine or through your special touch, Father. We know that you're a master physician and that you have healed many, and we pray if it be your will, you would allow Molly to be healed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the outreach that we've been able to do at the cafe and for those children that were there and their families. We just pray for them. We pray for their hearts. We pray that if they may not know you, they may discover you through those that have touched their lives on that special day. And we just thank you, Father, for outreach and the opportunity to share Christ's love in many ways. We think, Father, of the Hoover family and just lift up Jason and Nicole and their family to you as they embark on this new journey and as they visit churches and become acquainted with the language. We just pray, Father, your spirit would wash over them and just guide and direct them in their mission work. And we just thank you for their hearts and their willingness to serve the Church of the Brethren in that capacity. We think, too, of Rufus this morning and just thank you that he's able to be home again and just pray you would continue to bring a healing touch to his body and just continue to be with Catherine and John and Ruth and Dorothy and Carl and Faye and Sandra and Dorothy Renninger and Linda Ziegler and Earl and Gerhardt. We just lift him up in a very special way. We ask you to give him strength and give him encouragement and just allow his body to be restored. And thank you for Brother Pete and Sister Carol and their presence here today, and are so thankful for them, and just pray you would continue to move in their midst and allow strength to be gained and just a renewed energy for them, Lord, and thank you for them and for the family of Shirley Bayshore who experienced death and are facing that loss right now. Lord, we just ask your comfort. We ask your peace upon them and others, Lord, that have lost loved ones, especially this time of year. It creates an emptiness that we're learning to deal with, and we just pray, Father, that you would fill that void, you would give us hope, you would give us the love that we need, and just show us extra special care as we deal with these seasons, Lord. And we think of Joanna and the daughter who witnessed the death, Lord, and just the heartache that she's experiencing right now. Father, I just pray that you would just meet that girl where she's at right now and just allow her in a real way to know your presence. And just thank you, Father, for ministering to us in so many ways, and especially through your son, Jesus, who paid the price for our sins on the cross. And we come before you now just asking for forgiveness. We know the sins we've committed this week, and just come before you confessing them and receiving your forgiveness and also lifting up those prayers on our hearts. Amen. Please hear our prayers.
Thank you.
for our offertory thought, I take you back to a Christmas time where I had wanted this radio-controlled car, and I remember my brother opening his radio-controlled car exactly the same thing that I wanted, and I realized, what are my parents doing? Why is he getting the gift that I wanted? And the time went by that morning, and I was getting beside myself because gifts at that time in my life were more material and not about giving of myself and my time and my money to others. And so that gift was something my mother had held from me until the very end of our opening gifts that morning. And I can still remember plain as day reaching into my pocket and taking a nickel or a quarter, I don't remember exactly, and just winging it across the living room at my brother. And to this day, there's a scar above his eye reminding me of that time in my life where I thought possessions meant more to me than God. But I'm so thankful God got a hold of my heart and we're able to say the reason for the season is indeed Jesus. So as we give this morning, may we be reminded, as we give, Jesus is the greatest gift that we could have ever received. So Father, we thank you for giving us the gift of your Son. And we know in our giving, we give back as an offering to you for what you have blessed us with in so many ways. So Father, continue to minister to us, continue to allow us to see the needs of this church and this community and this world. And may we meet them abundantly and exceedingly. Thank you for each cheerful heart and the giving that is received this morning. May you multiply it. In Jesus' name, amen.
children, come join me up front. Do you always keep your room nice and clean?
No. Yes.
Are all your toys picked up?
Yes.
No.
Are there any clothes on the floor?
No.
How about on your dresser? Are there still clothes on your dresser?
Yes.
How about on your bed? Are there some clothes on your bed too?
No.
Did you guys remember to make your bed this morning?
No.
No. Are there any dust bunnies under your bed?
No.
I don't
know. Oh.
You don't know?
My sister had the Big Mean Dust Bunny book.
There's a Big Mean Dust Bunny book. Ooh.
Yeah.
If you guys knew I was going to come visit you guys today, would you guys rush home and clean your rooms quick?
Yeah.
No?
No. My family is.
My mother is a very good housekeeper. And I always thought my house looks amazing, but hey, there's always something that needs cleaned. I can always remember whenever my mom found out someone was coming over, she pulled out all the mops, the brooms, everything in that container, just so us kids could clean. We would all line up and she would give us our assignments and then we'd go clean. And then when we were all finished, we would go report back to her. Well, report back to Dad, because he would do the checking. Can you imagine one of us be like around any house expecting, I don't know, someone really important, maybe a king or a queen? Can you imagine how much cleaning that would be? That would take like 4 days just to get it all re-cleaned. Wouldn't you think? Yeah. Well, our Bible lesson today is about the coming of a king. Not just any king, the King of Kings. Do you know who that King of Kings is?
Jesus.
Jesus, that's right. The Bible tells us, the days before Jesus began his ministry, a man called John began preaching and telling people to prepare for the coming of the king. When John told people to prepare for the king, do you think he meant go clean your houses, sweep the floors, mop the kitchens, clean the windows, make sure everything's cleaned? You think he meant that?
No.
No?
No.
He meant we should prepare our hearts. How should we prepare our hearts? How do you prepare our heart?
We should put Jesus in our heart.
Put Jesus in our heart. That's a very good answer. But how, you know how all of us sin. How can we prepare our hearts with sin in it? Can we repent against our sins? We can, and turn towards God. When we do this, John would baptize them in the Jordan River. Do you know how that's how he got the name John the Baptist? It is important for you and me to make our hearts ready for the king comes too. We can do that by confessing sins, right? Right?
Yeah?
If we do that, the Bible says we'll be ready. So, will we be ready if we repent our sins? Yeah? Let's pray. Dear God, every day we do things for which we need your forgiveness. We ask you to forgive us and make our hearts clean so we will be ready to welcome the coming King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats.
Thank you.
This second week of Advent, we don't have to look very far to find examples of God calling people to do things that appeared to be rather strange, even goofy, somewhat surprising. I think it goes to show there's no such thing as a box we can place God in. Why do we even try? He's far greater, so much bigger than anything we can begin to wrap our minds around. For this, we are so thankful. We praise him from whom all blessings flow. It seems at times our lives can be like the movies, where he keeps us on the edge of our seats. We long to know what's next, but the plot thickens and the chapters unfold and life gets rather exciting, living for the plans God has for us. Some people enjoy being unpredictable, being mysterious, and we'll learn about that in our scripture verses today. For others, though, it doesn't make any sense. Our faith won't allow us to go there. We like structure. We like order. We like knowing what's going to happen. Our imaginations perhaps just aren't that vast. If only God would give us a clue. Let us see beyond this moment we're in. But could it be? Could it be the world has blinded us in guessing the way things should be? So when we read of these events in Scripture, we're simply caught off guard. But really, all we do is take a deep breath, take a step back, and realize the God we serve. The statement often made is, who are we to even question God? And yet, at times, we do. No worries, though, we're not the first person to question God. We're actually in very good company. Consider Jonah, who decides to run the other way when God tells him to go to Nineveh. Or how about Moses, who argues with God, saying he's not the right guy to go to Egypt? Not to forget our dear friends Adam and Eve, who liked that look of the forbidden fruit they were told specifically by God not to eat. Then there's Judas. What can we say about Judas? Was he a friend? Was he a foe? Did he realize what he was even doing? He lets his question turn to uncertainty, and his uncertainty turn to ultimate betrayal of our Lord and King. And then today, in our scripture, we get to meet John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. We can't blame him, really. He's a lot like us. He couldn't wrap his mind around what the angel was saying would happen. Friends, like you and I, there are a lot of people in Scripture who had their questions. But what if? What if we could move beyond the uncertainty to the point of trusting God, even when we have questions? Let's be honest for a moment. There will always be reason to wonder. There will always be reasons for uncertainty. But is that not the nature of faith? To believe when it doesn't always make sense? To trust when we don't know the end from the beginning? To know there's more that we can see or touch or even smell? But then we pause and we think, well, that's not all that comfortable. We like to see, we like to touch, we like to smell what's around us, at least most of the time. And this is where our faith can get a bit creeped out, if you will, where the media loves to get involved. TV shows, movies, things beyond the normal, things we can't explain. It's what we'll call the supernatural. Now, it's nothing new. In the Old Testament, God spoke through a bush that did not burn up, a pillar of fire in the wilderness, a cloud that covered a mountain. He spoke through a donkey. There was the physical presence of angels, not to mention some unusual object lessons in the lives of the prophets. The New Testament is not any different. The Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, as we've been studying, empowered believers to speak with foreign languages they never even studied. The blind and the lame were healed, and a person was raised from the dead. What sense can we make of this? We can't. So we question, yet we must trust in God's plans. Friends, it is true that God does still perform miracles. He does still work in supernatural ways we can't begin to fathom in our finite minds. And yet, he reveals himself to us each and every day. 'Tis the season of miracles at Christmas. A baby born in a manger, but born of a virgin. Romans 1:20 says this: since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And there's a gift we can't buy. We're not going to find this on the shelves of our favorite stores, but it's instantly available to all those who believe, who trust in God's Son. The beauty, the glory, the power of the Holy Spirit is available to anyone who repents and surrenders himself fully to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So friends, if we're waiting for everything to make sense, for all the loose ends to be tied up, or for all the questions to be answered, we're going to miss out. Jesus is happening here and now. The Spirit is at work in our midst. Friends, we can't wait until Jesus splits open the sky. We can't wait until he comes riding in on a cloud. And so it is in our story today. Zechariah almost misses out. He was a priest who worked in the Jerusalem temple. He was going about his priestly duties, burning incense, praying for the people, and this angel Gabriel appears to him. While I'd like to think, standing here right now, if an angel appeared to me, I'd be all ears, but I'm fairly certain I'd need a change of clothes. So when the angel tells Zechariah he and his wife will have a baby, Zechariah questions, how can this possibly be? We could even listen in on the conversation, a baby? Well, yeah, like Elizabeth and I haven't, well, you know, it's been a long time since we, well, listen, Gabriel, we're old. We're really old. Elizabeth and me, we're way past the time of babies and diapers and chasing a toddler. I can't even imagine trying to keep up, let alone understand a teenager. So thanks, Gabe. It's been nice of you to visit, but this baby thing, it ain't happening. Move along. Certainly God can use somebody else. You see, friends, Zechariah seems to have forgotten the lessons from Abraham and David, from Noah and Moses, from Rahab and Ruth. God has, is, and is known to use the smallest and the weakest, the forgotten and the overlooked, the unqualified and the disqualified. Friends, please listen closely. This thing we call age is not an obstacle for God. When it comes to his plans, history tells us that he will use unexpected people and resources. We've already heard of many unlikely characters. Again, by the world's standards, we think the rich and the powerful have it all. But I ask us, have you turned your eyes upon the downtrodden? Have you looked at the poor? It may seem as though they have very little materially, but in God, they have so much. We realize their faith is indeed the real deal. The hope and peace of Christmas sustains them all the days of their life, and it can be so with us if only we trust. It's time to look past what the world makes Christmas to be like and take a look at this newborn king and what he intends Christmas to be. We may wonder why he seems to complicate things by involving broken, fragile people when he himself is almighty and powerful and could get the job done in a heartbeat. But then again, when we think about it for a moment, we realize when we can't, God can. Our faith strengthens when we loosen the grips of control. The impossible becomes the possible when we surrender our ways to His. I pray I'm speaking to the choir, and we know these things already. But we've had 1,001 excuses for God to move on, to pick somebody else. But for whatever reason, God chooses to work through us and folks like Zechariah. People faith challenged, resource deprived, people who, when it comes down to it, know they cannot do it on their own. And that's where we connect the dots. That's where we solve the puzzle. That's where we've answered the million-dollar questions. That, my friends, is when God's power becomes the greatest. When we move from our questioning to the state of trusting Him and moving out of our own way so that God can move on our behalf. Zechariah indeed listens to this amazing news that comes from an angel of God, and all he can think about is the unlikely. We have to wonder at times, are we any different? Whether it's talent, whether it's our age, whether it's finances or resources, we tend to limit God. We put him in this neat little tidy box that we can understand. And as Zechariah doubted, we too have our doubts. We question God's plan in all this. But it seems to me, what doesn't make sense to us makes sense to God. In those moments that seemed doomed before they even got off the ground, it's those moments that are the most earth-shattering. Friends, we can trust when we have questions. Zechariah soon understands this. The song I'd like us to read together is a celebration of God's surprising use of an elderly couple to bring a baby into the world. A baby who will serve as the trailblazer for our Lord. Would you turn with me or follow along in this on the screen? Luke 1:68-79, and in reverence for God, what he has done in Zechariah's life, would we stand and read this together? Luke 1:68-79. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Would you join hands with your neighbor next to you and pray with me? Father, we thank you that we can trust when we have questions. We thank you that you have provided a way for salvation through the forgiveness of sins. We thank you that through your mercy that we have the opportunity to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. We thank you that we can guide our feet into the path of peace. And we pray, Father, that peace would go forth in this world in totality. Use us, Father, use us to share your message of good news and the hope that is found this Christmas through Jesus our Lord. And all God's children said, amen. You may be seated. When you look at God's plan this Christmas to reach the world for his son, we look no further than that person you were holding hands with. God has chosen us to share the good news that the Messiah has come. There is no plan B. We are it, friends. We are the messengers. We are the ones to go into the world and to share the good news. Now, that either excites us or that terrifies us. But I pray in all and through all, it guides us to the real meaning of Christ's birth, that the world may know God's hope and peace through his son. It's okay to celebrate the gifts. It's okay to celebrate the gatherings of family and friends, but may we at all times celebrate the birth of Jesus. John the Baptist prepared the way. We prepare the way with God's help for his return. It's obvious from the very beginning, people have been involved in God's plan. Can you even imagine being Adam and Eve, getting to name all the creatures of the earth and to care for the Garden of Eden? Can you imagine being Noah building that ark, Moses leading the people, prophets speaking his word? And today we realize an elderly couple bears and raises the boy who becomes the fiery preacher known as John the Baptist. We know that when the angel first appeared to Zechariah, he doubted. It didn't make any sense. And at times it will be like this in our own lives. But finally, Zechariah sees that God can use tired, worn-out people for his purpose. The Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he opens his mouth and out comes the wonderful celebration we just read. How about us? Can we see what God is up to? Can we be willing to live this mystery of faith? When God is doing something, or even when he's not doing something in our lives, can we celebrate with worship? Friends, let's not lose sight this Christmas that God has come in the flesh. He has redeemed his people, raising a horn of salvation, offering us strength. He's been faithful to his ancient promises, and God has delivered his children from the hand of their enemies. I don't know about you, but that's worth celebrating. This past that we read of gives us a lens through which we better understand the present. We can even picture Zechariah looking into the face of his baby boy and being moved to praise God for all he's done to save, to redeem, to rescue, to accomplish his purposes down through the generations. This baby boy Zechariah names John adds wonder, adds amazement to the unfolding Advent season. What will God do next? That picture of God's loving, faithful activity in the world continues. Zechariah's song tells us more about the heart of God than anything else. So many times we question his plans. But in those plans, it's so important for us to see his heart. In our scripture, we see God's heart of mercy, remembering his covenant promises, rescuing his children. It serves us well as we trust when we have questions that God is not like that Pez dispenser we find in checkout lines. He's not about passing out blessings like candy without a thought about what we'll do in response. We're not sponges that simply soak in God's blessings without a thought about how those blessings affect and impact us. The truth is, God has a greater purpose in his work to redeem and to rescue us, to save and to remain faithful to us. His plan, as we'll continue to mention, is to draw us into that deeper, that personal relationship with him. And for that to happen, friends, we must respond to this gift of Jesus. What will we do with what God has been doing? Will we respond in faith? Will we give him our heart, our hands, our lives? Will we allow him to use us? The fact is, he's still God, and he can use any single one of us if we're willing. You all know the battle I had with this call to ministry. But there's beauty, there's wonder in surrender. There were burdens that were lifted. There was freedom in responding to the call. What's God calling each of you to? May we rise up, people of God, this Christmas and proclaim, "Here I am, Lord. Use me. I trust you, even with my questions." Would you rise for our closing hymn? Pray that your will would be accomplished in each of our lives. We pray, Father, that our focus would be on your will. Our focus would be on the reason for this season, Jesus Christ. May we go in peace. May we share the hope that we have with one another. And may we know the blessings that come from knowing you. And may we reach out and may we serve you in the coming days. Amen and amen. Go in peace.